From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time, your favorite time of the day. 1 o'clock is hit, and Current Sports is pumping through your speakers. I am your host, as always, Al Martin. We've got a hot show in store for you all today with a ton of discussion. Yes, we will talk about the MSU men's basketball team as they yet dodge another bullet going to overtime against Northwestern. The MSU women still have not found the win column in conference play, folks. Shocking developments there. A big name in MSU football decides he will be returning for his senior season. And yes, it is National Championship Day. It has finally arrived, and we will have the first ever college football playoff national championship, Oregon and Ohio State. You will get our thoughts and predictions on that game and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this baby off like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this January 12th. All right, we start on the hardwood. Travis Trice, I mean, where in the world would this MSU men's basketball team be without that man? He had 18 points, 10 assists, and Michigan State outlasted Northwestern 84-77 yesterday in overtime. Now, the extra session was finally kind to the Spartans, who had lost their first three overtime games this season, including a double OT defeat against Maryland last month. Now, Michigan State held the Wildcats without a point in the overtime until the final minute. Now, up next for MSU, they will take on Maryland this Saturday on the road. Now, a complete contrast when it comes to the MSU women's basketball team. Now, despite trimming a 20-point second-half deficit down to two, Michigan State women's basketball team fell to Northwestern 77-70 in Evanston on Sunday. Now, sophomore guard Ariel Powers, she led the way for MSU with 24 points, including 15 in the second half alone. Now, with the loss, MSU falls to 8-8 and 0-5. Yes, 0-5, folks, in Big Ten play. Now, the Spartans prepare for a pair of home games next week, taking on Illinois on Thursday, January 15th at 7 p.m., and Iowa this Sunday at 3 p.m. January 18th, that's my sister's birthday, on ESPN2. All right, Michigan State defensive end Jaleek Calhoun, a two-time first-team All-Big Ten selection and two-time second-team All-American, has announced his decision to return for his senior season in 2015. Now, Calhoun, who led the Spartans to 11-2 in tackles for 12.5 and 109 yards. That's unbelievable. And also sacks, 8-for-91. He made the announcement at a press conference prior to Sunday's Michigan State and Northwestern basketball game at the Briz. All right, Michigan State Gymnastics, MSU, they fell on the road at Bowling Green State University in the 2015 season opener this weekend as the Falcons outscored the Spartans 194.775 to 194.075. Coming into the matchup, the Spartans were ranked 39th in the country while the Falcons followed closely behind at 40th. Now, this marks the first time the two teams have faced each other in a season opener, and the Spartans remain leaders in the all-time series record, which now stands at 15-2. And the Michigan State wrestling team, they couldn't get it done either. They fell to number 15 Michigan 28-9 on Sunday afternoon before a season-high crowd of 1,623 at Jenison Fieldhouse. Now fifth-year seniors Nick McDiarmid at 197 pounds, Nick Proctor at 174, and John Rizikwa at 184 all recorded victories for the Spartans in their final home duel against the Wolverines. They return to action this Friday, January 16th, to face Ohio State at Jenison Fieldhouse. All right, Mark D'Antonio, he's on ESPN today, folks. Again, Mark D'Antonio, who led his team to an 11-2 record, a dramatic comeback win over Baylor in the Cotton Bowl Classic. He joined ESPN today and is still on the airwaves as we speak out in Arlington, Texas, for coverage of tonight's college football playoff national championship, appearing across multiple network programs and platforms during a 7.5-hour period. He's on SportsCenter right now. That will go up until 1:30. He will also do interviews on College Football Live at 3 p.m., College Football Championship Drive at 7 p.m., and also, in between TV appearances, he will join Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Russillo for an interview on ESPN Radio at approximately 2 p.m. He'll also be on Big Ten Network as well, folks. All right, in the NFL, here's how the playoff outlook turned out over the weekend. In the AFC Divisional Playoffs, the New England Patriots held off the Baltimore Ravens 35-31, while the Indianapolis Colts topped the Denver Broncos 24-13. In the NFC, the Seattle Seahawks beat the Carolina Panthers 31-17, while the Green Bay Packers took care of my Dallas Cowboys 26-21, the final of that one. And yes, Oregon and Ohio State get it on for all of the marbles down in Arlington. Kickoff is at 8:30 p.m. The game can be seen on ESPN. Who do you think will win that game? Call in right now to give us a game prediction, 517-355-9527. Phone lines are now open. All right, folks, again, the number to call in if you want to discuss anything that is on your sports noggin. That number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, of course, as I just stated, we'll be taking your calls on tonight's game prediction. This will be the first ever college football playoff national championship that has pitted the Oregon Ducks against the Ohio State Buckeyes. It's going to be an exciting game tonight, folks. Two of college football's best going at it. The only two teams, actually, that Michigan State fell to throughout this entire year. Going to be an interesting game. I want to get your thoughts and predictions on that game, and who will you be rooting for? I'm sure many of you in the land of Sparty, right here in Mid-Michigan, possibly will be pulling for the Big Ten because, Ohio State is representing the Big Ten. From a perception standpoint, I mean, this will be huge, right? So are you rooting for Ohio State? And there may be some fans of the Michigan football team out there listening. I know many of you call in on the show and love to talk about the maize and blue. Will you be pulling for Ohio State? That's really the question that I want to know because, of course, you guys have a huge, huge rivalry, arguably bigger than the one you have with in-state rivalry Michigan State. OSU and the Wolverines don't like each other, never have, never will. So are you pulling for Ohio State to pull out this because of the implications that it can have in the overall outlook of the Big Ten scheme? I want to get your calls on that. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, we have a hot show to start your week. Again, each and every Monday, we love to take a look at the weekend that was in sports and give you our weekend winners. Who exactly had the best weekend, folks? Again, a lot of NFL action over the weekend. You just heard my rundown when it came to the NFL playoffs. How about the New England Patriots and Baltimore Ravens game? That was the most entertaining game, other than probably MSU basketball and Northwestern going to overtime. That was the most entertaining game, though, I've watched all weekend. The Patriots and Ravens going down to the wire, but the great Tom Brady pulling out some magic out of his hat, 35-31, the final of that one. And then the Seattle Seahawks. I tell you what, the Seahawks just looking like a team that is destined to raise the Vince Lombardi trophy once again. How good is Russell Wilson and that Seattle Seahawks offense? And how good is that defense, to be frank with you as well? I mean, they completely just shut down Cam Newton the entire Carolina Panthers squad for a big win, 31-17, convincing win over the weekend. And yes, I hate to bring this up, but I have to. You guys know this. I'm a huge, 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 huge Dallas Cowboy fan, and my Cowboys were nipped by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And they just didn't get, you know, it was a close game, and it was a lot of controversy surrounding this game due to one big call, and that call being, and if you haven't seen it, I'm surprised if you haven't, because it's been everywhere. It's been the talk of the town, much like in an eerie similar fashion to the Detroit Lions pass interference controversy. But there is no, in my opinion, there is no controversy on this, even though I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan. According to the rule, folks, which I do think should and will be changed in due time, possibly in the offseason after the Super Bowl is done with, according to the completing the process rule, Dez Bryant didn't catch that football. I got to be completely honest with you. Again, it was a 4th-and-2 call. Dallas Cowboys, they're driving 26-21. If they score a touchdown, they take the lead and only give Green Bay minutes, if that, to try and spark a comeback. But the referees initially called it a catch. Then a challenge flag was thrown from the Packers sideline, and they reviewed it and found that Dez Bryant did not complete, quote-unquote, the process, and they ruled it an incomplete pass. It was the right call, without a doubt. You know, I would tell you what, fascinating catch, because, you know, that's one of them calls, a gutsy call by Jason Garrett on 4th-and-2. You know, you just heave it up to one of the best receivers in the game, and Dez Bryant, he goes up, makes the catch, and at the very end of that catch, decides to stretch out and try to make a touchdown, but the ball moves, and that is the key in that whole thing. You know, when you talk about completing the process, the ball cannot move once it hits the ground. And it did. It even popped up at one point, to the point where Dez had to grab two hands on it in the air. According to that rule, it's not a catch, and the Cowboys do not make that play. It leads to a loss of downs. Green Bay takes over and just essentially runs out the clock. So, yeah, my heart is hurting a little bit. I actually took a trip to Planet Fitness right after that game and worked out my aggression on the treadmill and on the weights. So I'm feeling better, folks. I'm still a little salty about it, but I'm feeling better. I now invite the man behind the glass, is what I like to dub him, on to Current Sports. My man, engineer Alex Shark. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Al. And yeah, fuel to the fire for Detroit Lions fans with that catch, huh?
Yeah, you know what? It's so interesting because, you know, I'm a big social media guy. I'm always on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Who knows? I may still be on MySpace right now. Who knows? But, you know, I'm such a big social media guy that Alex did. I immediately went to Twitter to check out the reaction from all of the Lions fans out there. I even had a little post on my Instagram page. If you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram name is Al_3SPN. I would gladly follow you back. But, you know, I posted a post of, you know, hey, great season, Cowboys fans. I'm a Cowboys fan until I die. And I got a lot of backlash from a lot of my homies back in the D who are big Detroit Lions fans. And they were just throwing a lot of shade at me, saying, yeah, that's what karma does, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, I mean, come on. I mean, when you lose with some pride and dignity, okay? I said, hey, fantastic year. I'm owning up to it. Cowboys had a great year. The call was the right call, even though I don't agree with the rule. I take the loss. We'll move on. We'll be back next season. But I think it was so much controversy over that pass interference call that the Lions were still – Lions fans, I should say, were still harboring a lot of ill emotions. So I definitely get it. But still, you know, hey, come on. Give us a break. Give the Cowboys a break, huh? So, but yeah, interesting weekend, though. You know, Alex, another interesting story that actually was released – 3 hours ago. And, you know, we've been trying to get this young woman on Current Sports for quite some time now. She's always in training or out of the state doing promoting and doing other things outside of Michigan. But we will get this young woman on. I've been trying to work on this since last year. But, folks, does the name Clarissa Shields ring a bell at all? If it doesn't, she is a boxing guru, a boxing phenomena. She actually won the 2012 Olympic middleweight gold medal. Yes, she is a gold medal winner, folks. She's from right here in Michigan, Flint to be exact. She is one fantastic, inspirational young lady who is, again, doing some great things and putting a lot of spotlight into the world of female boxing. But, you know, an interesting story was just released. Now, I actually saw it literally, folks, 10 minutes before I hit the air. I decided to do one more clean sweep to make sure that I didn't miss anything on today's show. So I decided to go to Yahoo Sports. And all of a sudden, I look at one of the headliners, and it says, Clarissa Shields' shocking revelation. So I'm like, hold on, is this the same Clarissa Shields that's from Flint, Michigan, who was going on to win an Olympic gold medal in boxing? So I clicked on it, and lo and behold, it is. And she reveals that as a child, of course, Clarissa has been not shy in revealing that she certainly had a tumultuous childhood upbringing, to say the least. But her newest revelation reveals that she was actually molested as a child. Shocking news, and something, you know, that is certainly admirable for her to come out and reveal to the public. And if you read the article, again, it's posted on Yahoo Sports right now. It's one of their headliners to the right of the page online. And she goes on to say that, yeah, you know, telling my story could possibly help someone else out there who is going through or who has went through the same traumatic ordeal. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring light to that because I think it's one important thing for her to do this. And it takes a lot of courage to do this as well, to let her story be known in that certain context. So definitely check out that article. Again, I do promise you folks, we will get Clarissa on this show. I want to have her on the TV show, but hey, if we even just get her on the radio show, that would be fantastic as well. So you do not want to miss current sports in the coming weeks. And you better believe, yeah, we definitely will be diving into that subject because she wants to let that story be known for anyone who has gone through a shocking and traumatizing experience like that one. So, but she is one fantastic young lady, though. And again, it takes a lot of courage to do that. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., just like we do every single day here on Current Sports. Before I dive into the MSU men's basketball game last night, we have a very dedicated listener and caller here on Current Sports. My man, Ray, he wants to talk a little Peyton Manning in NFL playoffs. How you doing, Ray?
How you doing, partner?
I'm doing fantastic, my brother.
What do you think of the playoffs over the weekend?
Oh, fantastic. You know, yeah, I was glued to my TV,
you know,
all weekend.
That Baltimore-New England game, they had a fumble with like 7-8 minutes. They overturned it. Then we had the play with Dallas and Green Bay.
Right.
I mean, there's such a thin line between winning and losing.
There is, especially in the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, Ray, every small thing, I always say this, no matter what sport it is, every small thing that you don't do right is amplified times 100. So, yeah, I agree with you, Ray.
Well, I couldn't figure out why Peyton Manning looked so terrible, and then now they're saying when I got home from jogging that he had an injury or something.
Yeah, well, you know, and Alex actually brought this to my attention. I believe Alex, I believe he had a torn quad? Is that's what they're saying?
Yeah, Schefter reports that Peyton Manning had a torn quadricep while playing in the game.
Yeah, and you know what? Peyton Manning, to be honest with you, Ray, I mean, he just hasn't looked at times. I mean, we've certainly seen glimpses of greatness from one of the best to ever do it. But at the same time, Peyton Manning, I mean, I think his age is starting to show now. I mean, he's starting to slow down a little bit. I think, you know, I think it's about that time he may think about retirement.
As great as he's been in the regular season, that's 9 times he's got knocked out in the first round?
Yeah. How about that, right?
Good. I mean, I don't know if you call that a Hall of Famer to do something like that.
Well, I think he's I wouldn't go that far, right?
Yeah,
I think
he's still a Hall of Famer, but
yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Weird how he could play that bad in the playoffs compared to what he does in the regular season.
You know, it's so amazing when you bring up Peyton Manning's name. A lot of people out there certainly believe that, again, he's one of the greatest to ever play. If you look at his numbers, especially when you just look at the regular season, I mean, he's one of the best ever. But you cannot ignore the glaring numbers and opportunities that he has not taken advantage of in the playoffs. You can't ignore that at all, Ray. So I agree with you.
What do you think about the championship game tonight, Oregon, Ohio State?
Tonight, I tell you what, Ray, you got to stay tuned.
I'm taking the Ducks in a close one. I think it's going to be a real good game.
Gotcha. So you're going to take Oregon. Okay.
Give me a score, Ray. I don't know, 34-30?
That is eerily close to my score. I'm going 34-31. I'll tell you who I think is going to win later on in the show. So stay tuned, Ray, all right?
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Folks, if you want to weigh in just like Ray just did on the national championship game tonight, 8:30 kickoff on ESPN. Call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Alex, let's start the show by talking a little MSU men's basketball. Now, yesterday at the Breslin Center, they dodged another bullet. They're like Neo from the Matrix, I tell you, man. Travis Trice had one fantastic game. 18
again,
points.
Again.
Routine form. If there is any point of consistency for this MSU men's basketball team, it has been Travis Trice. Trice has been nice, folks. 18 points, 10 assists for him. 84-77, the final in overtime. I tell you what. So we've talked about Trice. I want to talk about how I truly think that Michigan State, now this is a good stretch for him, because they get a lot of time off up until Saturday where they get an opportunity to play Maryland again, another close game that came down to the wire, but they get an opportunity to get some revenge there. They have 6 days to prep for Maryland. This week of practice has to be hell for this team. And Tom Izzo alluded to it in his post-game presser when he talked about how, yeah, you better believe we're going to be pushing the grindstone this entire week up until that game, because there are still a lot of glaring holes that don't allude to me that this team can make a deep tourney run, or dare I say it, even make the NCAA tourney when it's all said and done. I think they will, though. I do think they will. But I tell you what, they must make some changes offensively and defensively for them to get back on track, or to get on track in the first place. First off, I want to bring up half-court offense for this team. How bad has Michigan State looked in the half court, Alex? If they aren't getting in transition and getting easy buckets, easy layup opportunities, or moving the ball in transition to get easy shots or more so wide open shots, this team struggles to run plays in the half court and score for multiple reasons. One, I don't think they have a guy that can create their own offense other than possibly Travis Trice. Travis Trice has shown that. Bryn Forbes has shown that he can shoot coming off screens, but as far as putting the ball on the ground and going to the paint, haven't seen much of that from him. Denzel Valentine will do it in spurts, but it's not consistent for him. Brandon Dawson at times looks uncomfortable with getting the ball in the post and making a solid move to score. And I can go on and on and on. Half-court offense for this Michigan State team is suspect. Another thing that I don't think is getting talked about a lot: Michigan State has got to hit their free throws. They went 19 of 26 yesterday. They are ranked last in the Big Ten when it comes to free throw percentage right now. If you make it from the charity stripe, heck, we could be talking about a ton of different games from Michigan State possibly this year. So there's some glaring needs here. I will say the lineup, now Tom Izzo has been tinkering left and right with the lineup here and there. I will say the lineup that I do like, where Michigan State has room to grow, I love Valentine, Trice, Forbes, Dawson, and Gavin Schilling. When those five are in, things start to happen. And Gavin Schilling, again, I think he can replace Matt Costello, because Matt, I believe, has been starting these last few games. But 5 of 10, 13 points, he is instant energy for this team. Alex, what did you see from yesterday?
Starting off, Al, I got to ask you. I know you have your own panic meter of a scale of 1 to 10. And every time, you know, when the Tigers were on their brink of making the postseason,
right,
you used that panic meter a lot. You said, all right, I'm worried. On a scale of 1 to 10, I think they're like an 8 or a 10.
Right.
Now, for Michigan State, Al.
I went 10? Really?
At one point, you went 10.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
For Michigan State, I think your panic meter might be a little broken. I think that you might be
looking. I haven't given a number yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And my point is that there's no reason at this point in the year to bring up the panic meter. The problems that you're talking about, not moving in the paint. Does this sound familiar? Isn't this what we talked about all of last year
with third and four-year starters? It's not.
You're telling me that we didn't talk about Keith Appling not being able to penetrate and not make as many plays as much?
Alex, we never talked about last year or the year before that 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 about Michigan State not being able to put the ball in the basket in the half court set. I've never talked about that when talking about Michigan State. Last year, for me, ideally it was defensively.
Ideally,
at least defensively,
I think you're mistaken, Al.
And turnovers.
I think you're mistaken.
No, I've never. You can go. Let's go back. Please go back to the current.
I'm going to tell you what you said last year. Here's what you said. You said
you had this on file.
Besides for Gary Harris, nobody out there is making any play in the half court offense.
No, I did not say that, Alex.
You said
where did you get this from?
You said that Gary Harris was the only guy that could be a playmaker out there.
I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
Adrian Payne was balling out of control up until the foot injury last year. He was great. The two things I harp on were defense and effort was another one of the things. Injuries is always a thing I bring up, but never did I question whether or not this team could put
all
the ball
right
in the basket.
I don't mean to
and even Keith Appling, he was a National Player of the Year in National Player of the Year talks up until he got injured and fell against North Carolina.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth here. I'm not trying to call
I'm
the kettle black.
But I'm just saying, yeah. I've never seen a Michigan State team struggle this glaring in half court. And I tell you what, Northwestern gave Michigan State a little taste of his own medicine last night. 12 of 25 from three-point land. How many times throughout this year have we talked about Michigan State relying on the three-pointer? Northwestern, that's the only reason Northwestern was in this game yesterday. Guys like Trey Dimps hitting it from everywhere. Michigan State couldn't defend it. It was really remarkable.
Now, about the game last night, it's not like the offensive issues this year are new with Northwestern. We've seen these issues the first couple games. I mean, aside from maybe the Indiana game, the Texas Southern game, you saw it against Kansas. I mean, like you said, it's hard for them to do a little bit of half-court offense. I agree. But the problem that I saw with the game this weekend against Northwestern was that the reason Northwestern was able to score so many points against that stifling Michigan State defense that was so great against Indiana,
Indiana. It was not that great yesterday.
Was that Michigan State on screens, they weren't hedging, man. For me, all of Northwestern's points came on some pick and rolls, driving out, pitching it to a three-pointer, and just hitting it, man. They were not hedging out on those pick and rolls. There was miscommunication. In the Indiana game, that's what shut Indiana down. They couldn't get anything off the ball because Michigan State's big men were literally guarding the guys off the pick and roll up until they were ready to switch. So for me, I thought it was the pick and roll offense that Northwestern was running that Michigan State just couldn't find an answer for some reason.
You know,
that, for me, was the big glaring problem. Do you agree?
For me, and I do see where you're going with that, but, you know, that all comes down to one word, Alex. Comes down to the great E word, effort. Point blank period. Is the reason why Tom Izzo decided to pull a great move, in my opinion, in benching Denzel Valentine the first 5 minutes of the second half. He didn't see any effort from him. Period. Point blank period. And you start to see that, and I question. And Tom Izzo talked about, and I said this on a TV show last week, Tom Izzo questions this team's heart. And I'm starting to as well. Because I tell you what, they pulled through when they pulled through when they needed to. You start to see them sort of wake up like they got a double shot of espresso or something in the last like 5 to 7 minutes of that game and woke up because it was going to be bad. If Northwestern would have won that game, oh my goodness. But I question their effort throughout an entire 40 minutes of a basketball
game. Yeah, but I can't believe you're questioning it to the point that you're not even sure if they're going to make the tournament, Al.
Well, I said...
You said that they will.
I said they
but
will.
But you questioned
but
it. You questioned
if
it.
If they play like they did against Northwestern the rest of the year, oh.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
But let's be
oh,
real.
Yeah.
You know how Michigan State is. You said it yourself. It's catch 22. You never know what you're going
to get.
Right. It's a tougher Big Ten Conference this year, but look.
No, I think the Big Ten Conference is worse than it was last year, to be honest with you.
That's not what Tom Izzo thinks.
I don't think
Tom Izzo doesn't think that.
I don't care what Tom Izzo thinks. This is what Al Martin thinks today. The Big Ten Conference, in my opinion, has taken a step back from where it was last year. Definitely. Without a doubt. Look at Michigan this year. That's just one example. Wisconsin, I don't think, is that great this year.
Yeah, but look at Maryland and Iowa.
Rutgers
and
isn't
Nebraska.
That great this year. I don't think Maryland's that great this year.
Be Michigan State?
I think the Big Ten has taken a step back this year. And I think that right now, it's saying a lot that Michigan State is really struggling against a team like Northwestern, who I don't think is a great basketball team. They're better than I perceive.
Right.
Definitely, because they have a lot of young talent on that team and a lot of guys who can come in and give you a lot of production. But at the same time, Michigan State shouldn't be struggling against Northwestern.
Now to touch on your point about this lineup, and you thought that, you know, there's a little bit of lineup changes going on. Tom Izzo said it himself. We're not really sure at this point, you and I, Al, what that starting lineup ultimately will be. You like Schilling ahead of Costello.
Yep.
What do you think of Tum-Tum? Because I've heard the argument, there's a perception that Tum-Tum, you said it in the Indiana game, he's done a really nice job driving, penetrating. You saw that nice kick to Trice. Tum-Tum's trying to, maybe starting to find his stride a little bit with his shooting. Do you see Tum-Tum in that starting lineup or no?
No, not at all.
For me, I like the combo of Tum-Tum and Trice.
I wouldn't start Tum. Okay, you got Trice, Valentine, and Forbes. Who do you start Tum-Tum over out of those three guards?
I don't think you start anyone over him.
I think that Tum-Tum doesn't start over Trice. Right. He doesn't start over Valentine, and he doesn't start over Forbes. So with that being said, there's no place for him in the starting lineup right now.
I hear you.
Coming off the bench, I love him because he's instant energy, and he's starting to gain his confidence little by little as the games go on. So I think that, you know, Tum-Tum can be a great factor as the year goes on. You didn't see him in crunch time yesterday. That's something that I noticed glaringly. As that game winded down, Tum-Tum spending most of his time on the bench as that game winded down. But I do think he's gaining confidence, and we've yet to see just how high the ceiling is for Tum-Tum. But, you know, we've seen a lot of potential. Folks, what do you think about it? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Before we hit the break, just want to get some quick thoughts on the MSU women's basketball team. They, folks, have not won yet in Big Ten play in the conference. Again, they trimmed a 20-point second-half deficit down to 2, but they fell short to Northwestern, 77-70, excuse me, out in Evanston yesterday. Ariel Powers, of course, she led the way. When doesn't she, right? With 24 points, including 15 in the second half alone. But you know what? For me, folks, I think, you know, if you want a target angle as to why Michigan State, one of the reasons why Michigan State, again, is 0-5 in Big Ten play, I agree with Susie Merchant 1,000%, actually. I don't think MSU has a true point guard at this point. And I do think that's hurting this team. Ariel Powers, bona fide scorer. Even Tori Jankowska, who was great yesterday, she's a bona fide scorer. But as far as the disparity and distributing the basketball, they do not have that true point guard right now. And, you know, and that's why you see, when you look at the stat sheet, you see Jankowska and Powers, the two-headed monster, every night leading the team in scoring. And you know what? Defense for them as well. I mean, they got down way too early in that game, a 20-point deficit. They fought back, don't get me wrong, but you start to wonder, where was that at the beginning of the game? I think Susie will figure it out. I think she will figure it out, but I just feel as though it may be too late. You talk about a team not making a tourney, I think you could put Michigan State women's basketball on the bubble right now. All right, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will give you our weekend winners. Who had the best weekend in sports over this weekend? What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit the break. Marvin Gaye, take us out. If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far. Talk to me, sister, so you can see. Man, do I love that song right there. Oh, the great Marvin Gaye. Folks, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV will be back in full effect this Wednesday, but we're changing the time. We'll take note of it for those of you who plan to come out to the live studio audience. We're changing it from 6 p.m. to actually 5 p.m. today. So 5 p.m. right here at the WKAR-TV studios. I'll be sitting down with Okemos High School Athletic Director Ira Childress. We've been trying to get Ira on for quite some time now. We've finally done it, folks. He'll be chatting about his role with Okemos now. He's been there for over a year. Just his new role. Of course, he was out at Ferris State as the athletic director there, did one fantastic job, and now he is doing another fantastic job over with the Chiefs. So we'll be chatting with Ira. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. Really briefly, before we get into weekend winners here, I want to bring up Shalik Calhoun and salute this outstanding young man for deciding to come back to Michigan State for his senior season despite all of the high first-round pick predictions that many college football analysts out there perceive this young man to be at, Calhoun said, okay, pump your brakes. I want to come back. I want to get my education, and I want to possibly up my draft stock. So, again, he's MSU's sack leader, two-time second-team All-American. Remember, he was Big Ten Lineman of the Year his sophomore season. And, you know, now Mark D'Antonio, he gets Connor Cook back, you know, and Shalik Calhoun, two players who are in prime-time positions when it comes to the ultimate success of this football team. And, you know, I really like, you know, first off, Shalik, you know, we had him on Current Sports TV last year, the summer of last year. And, you know, he's so charismatic. He's one of the best college athlete interviews I've ever done. And, you know, it's funny. He took the presser yesterday and he says, hey, you know, I was told that I was going to be the first pick in the NFL draft. But I said, hold on. I got some unfinished work here to do. It was funny stuff. And, you know, he actually started off the presser by saying that he's deciding to leave. And then he said, no, I'm just playing. So Shalik Calhoun, I mean, he's certainly a guy who is quickly becoming, and I think possibly, you know, the face of MSU football. He is that charismatic, folks. And, you know, I thought, you know, going to into more of that presser, you know, he explained his thoughts into coming back as to looking at and evaluating tonight's college football championship between Oregon and Ohio State, two teams that were the only blemishes on this MSU football record. And he felt as though, man, you know, if two teams that the only two teams that we lost to are playing for a national championship, we must be really close to possibly getting there and winning the whole thing. So he used that as motivation. And also, hey, getting your degree. You know what I mean? You know, D'Antonio talked about how he was very impressed about how Shalik is putting an emphasis on education, which in turn really goes right into maturation. His maturity is definitely showing here, and hats off to him, man. And I hope he also, you know, continues to have these big years that he has been having dating back to that sophomore season. So big move right there.
Yeah, and it's also funny. He joked that, yeah, I was going to go number one overall.
Right, exactly.
And he was like, nah, I'm just kidding around.
Yeah, hilarious.
He's a joke.
So charismatic, man. I would, if he would have left, you know, I said during our Chris Solari Current Sports TV, I said, man, I would have missed the guy without a doubt, man. He's definitely a great, great character, and just a great, great person as well. So,
right. And hey, yeah, how about a story? If they get the national championship next year with a new defensive coordinator set, you're adding on Mark Sander now, Harlan Barnett and Mike Tressel, that would be a phenomenal story. I mean, they definitely have, sure, they have a lot of talent coming back, but I'm sure there will be some new, maybe new formations, some new defenses, maybe some new communication issues with a new coordinator coming in, just getting their feet wet.
Yeah, and you're talking about Mark Snyder. I mean, yeah, Shalik Calhoun kind of stole Mark's thunder, because that was ideally supposed to be what the press conference was supposed to be about, was the hiring of Mark Snyder. But, you know, I found it interesting looking at even Mark's presser, how he reached out to Michigan State. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, once he heard about Pat Narduzzi taking the job to become defensive coordinator over, head coach at the University of Pittsburgh, he reached out to Mark D'Antonio in the MSU football staff saying, hey, I'm interested. And that's how that bowl got rolling, So, hey, you know, that's interesting stuff. And I think Mark Snyder is going to come in and do a great job. Folks, each and every Monday here on Current Sports, we love to take a look back at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you our thoughts on who we felt, athletes, teams, and even sports personnel in general, who had the best weekend in sports. Folks, we dubbed our weekend winner segment. Let's start it now.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Yes, these are the best around. Over the weekend, at least in our opinion, in the world of sports, folks. Again, so much taking place. Again, you had the NFL playoffs. You had a lot of NBA games. You had a lot of college basketball games. So who exactly had the best weekend in sports? Alex, you want to do the honors to start us off? You got any names?
Yeah, I'll steal your thunder a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to say that your beloved boys, The Detroit Pistons, that is, Al. You know, they lose a tough game to the first place Atlanta Hawks. And then you're wondering, how do they bounce back? How resilient are they? They beat a come-from-behind Brooklyn Nets team. You know, they come back, they win the game. It shows that maybe this team is not a fluke, man. Maybe this wasn't just a drastic turn. People are starting to watch the Pistons, and they now have a chance on national TV this week to prove that they can continue their road streak, the team record road streak, keeping that alive, and show that Josh Smith was the antagonist to this team.
Well, a lot of people may not know. I mean, tonight they take on one of the top dogs in the East, the Toronto Raptors. So there's going to be a big game tonight. But, yeah, I agree. And, you know, even going back to that Atlanta Hawks game, I mean, the Atlanta Hawks are leading the Eastern Conference right now. They are one of the league's best. And I thought it was very impressive that, you know, they were down by double digits and came back in that game to make it just a three-point game. So fantastic game, though, against the Nets. And I tell you what, I have not seen the Palace of Auburn Hills that packed in years. 19,000 fans came out to watch that game. A lot of my friends went out there to go see it, and they said the atmosphere, they haven't seen it like that in like 5 to 6 years. So, but yeah, the Detroit Pistons are also on my list because I feel as though they are trying, at least trying, to change the culture that has been hovering over this team, the losing culture that has been hovering over this team for quite some time now. So shout out to Stan Van Gundy. It seems as though he is a renewed life into the red, white, and true blue. So, hey, for my first top dog in the weekend winner segment, though, I got to shout out Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. I was one who predicted that the Baltimore Ravens would beat the New England Patriots on Friday. I certainly was wrong. I looked like a genius in the first quarter when it was 14-7. Then things started to change a little bit. But it was a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic NFL playoff game. The most entertaining playoff game I watched all weekend. And Tom Brady, I tell you what, man. He went for 387 yards, 3 touchdowns. Don't sleep on Joe Flacco, though, because I think he's one of the most underrated QBs in the NFL. He showed a lot of resiliency, a lot of poise, a lot of confidence. He looked great. Joe Flacco, man, is one quarterback who, I tell you what, deserves to be talked about amongst the elite. I thought he had a fantastic game. I tell you what, though, the Patriots just came up when they needed to most. So, shout out to the New England Patriots, though, as they now move on. And, last but not least, you know, again, I want to shout out Olympic boxing gold medalist Clarissa Shields, because it takes a lot of courage to do what she just did. Again, check out her unbelievable revelation on Yahoo Sports right now. Again, the Flint native who was a 2012 Olympic middleweight gold medalist, folks. She decided to open up about her horrific childhood and didn't turn. I hope gave a lot of people out there who are going through some of the same trials and tribulations that Clarissa did a lot of confidence in their own lives. So those are my three weekend winners. You got any more, Alex?
That's a pretty good list, man. The only other weekend winner, I want to hear what you think. Let's just comment on this. What about your boy Tiger, man? Thoughts on your boy Tiger, Al?
Well, you know what? I didn't actually get a chance. Did he? He didn't play this weekend, did he?
Yeah, but thought he was going to play. He ended up not playing. I thought you said he was going to play Saturday.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it was, and I have to double check. But no, because I remember giving the countdown. Right. I remember giving the countdown to this past weekend. I don't know why he pulled out. I honestly don't know what happened. I thought he played this weekend. That's crazy. I have to double check on that. But if he did decide to pull out, I'm not surprised, though, at the end, because Tiger's been going through a lot of health issues still. When he will make that comeback, and will he, you know, have any shades of being the Tiger Woods of old? I mean, we've been debating about this for now, 3 or 4 years now, so who really knows? From a fan standpoint, I'm a big Tiger Woods guy. I really hope he does, because I think golf is better for him. But, yeah. I don't know. I have to double check on that. Maybe we can Google that in the break.
Otherwise, last winner from me, how about the Oakland Athletics, man? You've been really looking at what this team has been doing. They traded away basically their main big pieces of talent in their lineup. They lost Espedes to the Tigers. They lost a lot of their good talent. They're stocking up a whole brand-new infield, a whole brand-new farm system, and they're going to be just as competitive as before. They just acquired Ben Zobrist. They made some other deals with the Rays. They made some other offseason moves to acquire a lot of young talent. So I'm really excited to see what Billy Beane and the Oakland Athletics will be doing this year, because with the moves that are being made between Billy Beane and his new team and what the Athletics have done with their lineup, it's incredible, man.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think that's a good one as well. But no, I thought it was 2 weeks from now. I think it's happening this weekend, Alex, for Tiger Woods' return.
Oh, gotcha.
I said something like 16 days last week or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, he didn't pull out. I mean, Tiger's still on trace because I even saw that Tiger Woods attended Stuart Scott's funeral over the weekend, too. So, RIP Stuart Scott, man. That's tough. But also, the Red Wings, Jimmy Howard, folks, it looks as though he will be out for an extended period of time. He left the ice over the weekend. So, not good news for the Red Wings there. All right, folks, let's hit our second break. When we come back, you'll get to hear our chat between me, Joe Rexroad, and Current State's Mark Bayshore this morning, kind of breaking down tonight's national championship game between Oregon and Ohio State. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. All things ain't what they used to be now. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. About 15 minutes left in the show. If you still want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about today, 517-355-9527. I know our man Mike from Saginaw called in. Sorry I didn't get to you sooner, Mike. I'm just now seeing a notification that you called in, my man. So if you still want to weigh in, call in right now, 517-355-9527. So the talk of the town tonight is about the first ever college football playoff national championship between Oregon and Ohio State. I tell you what, ESPN is going to do blowout coverage tonight. If you remember last year, they had this incredible coverage where they had about like 8 different channels dedicated to, you know, one camera angle, just keyed in on analysis of the game, watching the game and giving their thoughts. Another channel of the sky cam throughout the entire game. Another channel focused on both head coaches. I mean, it is crazy. They're going to do it again tonight. And the talk of the town is, who's going to win? Oregon and Ohio State. Well, this morning I was a guest on our fantastic, fantastic Current State show hosted by the one, the only, Mark Bayshore. Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press also joined us to break down the game and so much more. Here's a snippet from that chat.
Well, I mean, I think it is. I mean, it's the playoff, of course, going to 4 teams. They've had the BCS championship game for a long time now. This year, if that would have been the case, if we didn't go to the 14 playoff, we would have had Alabama against Florida State in the championship game. And, of course, the 14 playoff allowed us to see that it shouldn't have been Alabama and Florida State. Now, of course, people will say, well, wait a minute, we need to go to 8 or we need to go to 16. But I think it's good to have 4, and I think it gives you a little bit better chance to get the right game. And you know, obviously it's a big revenue thing. There's a lot of interest in it. The only thing I'm worried about is it seems like during the season, there was so much focus on those playoff rankings and you almost wonder if the other bowl games have kind of lost some luster and even the regular season.
What do you think, Al?
Yeah, you know, I kind of definitely see where Joe is going from that perspective, because it seemed as though even though, you know, there were a lot of incredible bowl games this year, even at the beginning of the season, before the bowls even took place, I mean, you started to hear the talk of who's going to be in the playoff, which 4 teams are going to make it, which teams still have a chance.
Yeah.
That conversation kind of overtook just the overall love of watching college football on a week-to-week basis. So I'm glad that it's here, and I think, you know, when you talk about this playoff and you talk about revamping how the system was to now to a 4-team playoff, I think you're never going to be fully satisfied. College football fans are never going to be fully satisfied. I think it's just a matter of time before it expands to 8 teams because, again, I mean, a lot of conference champions out there don't get the attention that they deserve because it comes down to these 4 teams, and they get most of that spotlight, if you will. Mm.
Joe Rexroad, Michigan State played both of these teams this season. MSU lost to both, but they are as everybody knows, our only losses of the season. Oregon is favored by 5 or 6 points, yet you wrote these words in the Free Press yesterday, Ohio State is going to beat Oregon soundly. Can you explain your view on that for us?
Well, to explain myself, I was assigned to write a column based on what I saw. So you know what? I'm strictly going on what I saw. I saw a Michigan State team that really easily could have won at Oregon. A couple key plays in that excuse me, key plays in that game. Marcus Mariota made some key plays. Michigan State made some key mistakes. in the Ohio State game two months later, I saw a better Michigan State team at home at night have really no chance to stop Ohio State. And I realize Ohio State is a different quarterback now, but he's been playing extremely well. And I just think Ohio State right now is absolutely playing the best football in the country. And I think it's a better, more talented, more athletic team than Oregon.
Al, your pick?
You know what? I have to agree with Joe. Now, Mark, you just used the word soundly. I mean, Joe, did you give us a score prediction on that game?
Actually, we had to send in picks yesterday, and I have 42-31 Ohio State.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so you at least got a double-digit win. So for me, I agree with Joe. I think this is going to be an interesting game. And for Michigan State fans out there, they have the privilege of watching two teams. Again, these were the only two blemishes on Michigan State football's record. So you got a chance to see these two teams up close and personal. And again, I mean, you got the Heisman Trophy winner. There's a lot of interesting dynamics in this game because you have the Heisman Trophy winner in Marcos Mariota, quarterback for Oregon, going against Cardale Jones, a guy who is the third-string quarterback for Ohio State. And, you know, he's come in and won the Big Ten championship. He's knocked off a premier powerhouse in college football year after year after year in Alabama. I mean, it's unbelievable to see both of these two powers at work, but I really think the straw that's going to break the camel's back for Oregon is going to be that defense. I mean, they have the 102nd ranked defense in college football. I mean, if they do win a national championship, they will win the national championship with a defense that ranked low. 102nd, again, folks, 102nd. Yeah. That hasn't happened since 2011 when Auburn beat, ironically, Oregon. Mm. So it's going to be interesting plays on both sides of the ball, I think.
Joe, Al Martin of WKAR's Current Sports on radio and TV and Joe Rexrode of the Detroit Free Press and Michigan.com are our guests here right now. Oregon has had a couple of players suspended, reportedly for testing positive for marijuana by the NCAA. Joe, are those suspensions are not enough for you to change your prediction?
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. I think that's a big loss for Oregon. I think, you know, they lost their best cornerback also a few weeks ago in practice. So really losing some skill there, that hurts the Ducks, no question. I think Al touched on some things right there. First of all, the defense. But I think, as Al said, you know, Marcus Mariota, I mean, I think that's the big reason people are picking Oregon. I mean, it's why Oregon is a favorite in this game, and I get it. Marcus Mariota won the Heisman. He's an outstanding player, and this is still a third-string quarterback really playing his third game. So, but when you look at everything, including that defense, including the lost receivers and of course, the lost cornerback, I just think Marcus Mariota is going to have a heroic performance, in my mind, the best he's played, to overcome the fact that his defense is not going to be able to get many stops tonight.
Al, what would it mean to the Big Ten to have Ohio State win the national championship?
Oh, it's
a conference that's been on the decline, at least in recent years.
Yeah, I think from a perception standpoint, it would mean the world.
Perceptually, yeah.
Exactly, because if you look at it, I mean, there's already two dynamics in play here that have really boded well for the Big Ten, even before this game has taken place. I mean, first off, you got Michigan State with the incredible comeback win over Baylor, the number five team in the nation, a team that felt as though they should have been in the four-team playoff. And then, you know, to bring it up, I got to bring it up, the hire of Jim Harbaugh has gotten so much attention out in Ann Arbor from a national perspective that also bodes well for the Big Ten. And then if Ohio State wins this, I mean, hey, you have to legitimately put the Big Ten as one of the best conferences out there and arguably the best. I mean, if you look at the national championship, if they do win this game. So I think from a perception standpoint, it would mean a lot. And I'm interested to see if a lot of, you know, fans out there, Michigan State or Michigan or any Big Ten team, are going to be rooting for Ohio State in this game.
Let's switch gears here and get to MSU basketball for one quick second. MSU needed overtime to beat Northwestern yesterday, but the schedule gets less demanding the next few weeks. Joe Rexrode, are the Spartans capable of putting on something of a run right now?
They are, of course, if they can get by Saturday, you know, at Maryland. Of course, they would like to get the Terrapins back for the double overtime loss at home to open the Big Ten. That's certainly a big game, a tough game. But get past that one. And like you said, the schedule lightens up until Michigan comes in on Super Bowl Sunday. Real chance for this team to get a run going. And, you know, Wisconsin lost last night to Rutgers, of all things. So maybe the Big Ten's a little more wide open than we thought.
How about that? That really got my attention as well. Al, MSU football did get some good news yesterday. Defensive lineman Shalik Calhoun announced he'll be back for the senior season. Any response to that?
Oh, that was huge. It really shocked me because, I mean, if you look at the predictions on where Shalik would go, I mean, he was predicted as possibly a high first-round pick. And, you know, for him to come back now, I mean, you get Shalik Calhoun back. You get Connor Cook back. I mean, that is unbelievable. And I really thought it was interesting looking at his presser yesterday. You know, he really put an emphasis on getting his education. He said it was a family decision. And D'Antonio talked about how, you know, watching Shalik up there announce that he is going to come back, it you know, puts an emphasis on education and also an emphasis on maturation. His maturity is through the roof. And I think, you know, this team, as far as their preseason poll rankings go for next season, having those two back, Cook and Calhoun back, is going to bode well for Michigan State.
Back to one more football question. Joe, MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio will be on a lot of the live TV coverage today and tonight. I don't think he's done that before. Can the exposure help him on the recruiting trail?
No, I have to think so. I think any chance these coaches get to do things like this, they jump at them. We've seen Tom Izzo do it a lot over the years when his teams haven't advanced, and, you know, you'll see him at the Final Four. I think anytime you can put yourself out there, it absolutely helps. And, hey, Al mentioned Jim Harbaugh earlier. He's on ESPN, too, so it's, you know, D'Antonio's got his airtime. Harbaugh, I mean, I'd love to see them have a little debate, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, boy, that was fun. Joe Rexroth of the Detroit Free Press, Michigan State sports writer for the Freep, and also, of course, host of Current State here at WKAR. We powwowed about you know, the national championship game and so much more. Fun time there. So, who's going to win, Oregon or Ohio State? I'm going 34-31. Ohio State pulls this out again, as you just heard. Again, that Oregon defense, 102nd. In the nation is going to be the X factor. I think Ezekiel Elliott and Cardo Jones will have great games. Ezekiel Elliott averaging 7 yards per carry, broke his left wrist and really started to break out, starting with that Michigan State game. 230 yards against Alabama, 200 against Wisconsin, 220, excuse me, against Wisconsin. He's going to be X factor also in that game, and that Ohio State defensive line. Can they get pressure on Marcus Mariota? Will it even matter if they do, though? Because Mariota has shown that he can deal with anything and turn lemons into lemonade, so to speak. So I'm still going Ohio State 34-31. Alex, who you got?
All right, I'm going to go Oregon in this one, 41-28, kind of similar to the Michigan State
41-28.
I think so.
Wow.
I think it's going to be high scoring, man. I think Mariota will pick him apart.
But the margin of victory there, that's what I'm wowing about. Why so lopsided?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily lopsided, but 41-28, yeah, it's a touchdown and a field goal. But overall, man, I just think that, you know, with Marcus Mariota and what he's seen with tough defenses, I think that this Oregon offense has no problem putting points up, as you see. I think that they could definitely put over 40 if they wanted to. And with Ohio State, I think they might have some offensive troubles. I think they might have some offensive troubles tonight.
All right. All right. If you still want to weigh in on it, folks, tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. We, unfortunately, are out of time. Yes, my least favorite part of the show. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic start to your week. Make it a great one, folks, and go after your dreams. Be easy, people. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da